Merci. Sermon this evening comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Start the reading in verse 1. Tonight we'll be focusing on verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. Time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, a time to give up as lost. A time to keep. A time to throw away. A time to tear apart. And a time to sew together. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. A time to love. And a time to hate. A time for war. And a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men, for which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed away. Furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there. I said to myself concerning the sons of man, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast. For all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust, and all return to the dust. Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward, and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth? I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for this is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? Pray. Father, help us. Help us to be blessed now. We seek your face, and as we learn from you, please give us clear eyes to understand what is being communicated here, that we wouldn't stumble on a path, but that we would get to a good destination, that you would be glorified as we think rightly about you, rightly about our lives, and rightly about our relationships to one another. Bless now, we need your Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was explaining to a friend recently how exciting it was to be preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. he asked, "Define exciting." And I had to stop for a moment and think about it. And I said, for something to be exciting to me, there has to be the possibility of failure and the possibility of success. But I need to come to this place where I can labor diligently and work diligently to portray the eternal realities accurately for the good of the congregation. As we come through the book of Ecclesiastes, there are many places on this path that we could trip up and get hung up there. We could look at the statements like, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And if we simply made that the meditation of our heart and decided, this is where I have ended up, everything is empty, we are in despair. We are lost. If we continue on in that place and we look at a statement from last week, chapter 2, where he says, I hated life. Someone among us who feels prone to suicide, for example, and they grab a hold of and cling to, everything is empty, I hate my life. Where are we then at that point? As I described the book of Ecclesiastes to my friend and tried to help him understand that this was a piece, and we have to understand every verse just as a piece, knowing what comes before it, what is after it, and looking at the beginning and looking at the end. And he asked, can I see if I understand you right? He said, sounds like it's a puzzle. And I said, that's right. It's all a great big puzzle. You can grab a single piece from a large puzzle and ask, what in the world is this? Where does this go? Where does this fit in? Vanity of vanities. I hated life. What do I do with this? Well, if we step back and we consider our great covenant God who relates to us in such a beautiful way, and we understand the beginning to the end, that's like having the box for this great big puzzle. And we can take this piece and we can bring it along and we can line it up and say, aha, I see where this fits in now. But in the course of our lives, we're not dealing with neat little pieces of cardboard. The scripture is a picture from the beginning all the way to the end, made of flesh and blood. It's real life and real death. Each of us know these burdens and these sorrows. Each of us know the burdens of death. For those of us who have lost a loved one who was a righteous person, we can look and say, how could God take this one and leave this one? When this one worked diligently and labored for good. And we might say, with Solomon, emptiness. It's all emptiness. What advantage is there to be a righteous person? And the righteous dies and the wicked dies in the same fashion. Well, here as Solomon preaches to us, we think of Ecclesiastes, once again, as a full sermon. We start in one place and seeing a multitude of emptiness, a great void that cannot be filled. And we roll all the way through the book, and when we come to the end, we see that the summary of all is to love God and to obey Him. So as we look at these places of emptiness, as we walk through these shadows together this evening, the call for you is to have joy in your work, to rejoice, to do good in your lifetime. Our first step is remember the state of things. Is to remember that we are in a position that has come from one place and is traveling to another. That we are currently in a place where the world around us is stuck in a cycle of futility, and that we are not left there. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. Time to give birth, and a time to die. time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. That seems to be just about a summary there of those following verses up to verse 8, where we have a time for this and a time for this. It's almost like we have a teeter-totter going back and forth. A time to live and a time to die. Now, these passages have been read enough and sung enough throughout time. It may seem a bit familiar and mundane, but I'm going to invite you to go to a time in your life when there was a birth. And remember the joy in that moment. Travel from that moment and go to the place where there was a death. And remember the grief in that moment. This is the state of your life. These things will be coming into your life. When Nathaniel was very little and he was taken to the doctor, and the doctor was about to do a procedure on him, the doctor said, "Now, this is going to tickle." Doctor executed the procedure and it didn't tickle. It hurt. Nathaniel was very offended in such a moment. He turned to Leslie and said, "He lied. He lied." He was so offended in the moment. We are in danger in our Christian lives to say, "Everything's going to be okay. God's with you. Trust and believe. Everything's going to be okay. Honesty is the best policy. Tell the truth and things will go well with you. Do what's right and things will go well with you." Some Christians fall away because they have been told everything is going to be okay. I am more in the place to say, brace yourself, child, because this is really going to hurt. That is the state of things in a fallen world. We are given this picture in verses 18 through 20. "And I said to myself concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust, and all return to the dust." You can imagine Solomon, perhaps, walking down the trail in the ancient East and coming across a place where a man and his horse both fell. And you look at them as they have died, and they're both decomposing in the same fashion. He says, "Behold, man and a beast, both come from dust, both go to dust." He sees the seeming futility in the moment. We're going to roll from there now into a place of hope. And this is our second step. Bear temporary pain. Verse 2. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what has been planted. I'm going to move to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15 is the passage I often read at funerals. The funerals of believers, rather. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 54. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There is a reality to your salvation. It isn't just that you have comfort in this life, that is a part of it. It is that you are moved from death to life. There is a great resurrection and there is a great hope. Yes, brace yourself, child, because this is really going to hurt. All of this pain is temporary. Some of us, depending upon our age, we can say, well, I've only got about 40 more years of this. I can handle that. Some of us 50, 60, maybe 70, or 80. What is that compared to eternity? Our brother, Kenji Smith, at one point he was speaking at a conference, and he had somehow purchased, we'll just call it an infinite amount of twine or small rope. And he brought people out, and he said, here, take this. And he had it all rolled up, and he had it stretched across the auditorium, and he showed them as it went along, and over here it was still coiled. And he said, look, your life is about this. And he tied us a thread to the piece of that cord. And he said, your eternity is that. Whatever you're facing here, or whatever you're putting up with here, Paul spoke of it, moved by the Holy Spirit, said, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. If your life is 100 years of suffering, it's light, it's temporary, but it is achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We move to the hope of a glorious resurrection. Our pain is temporary. Now, as Solomon preaches and teaches here, we're going to go to our third step, which is learn to revere God. Here in verse 14, it's phrased to fear Him. Verse 14, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him. It's as if He's given us these roles and these activities to do to teach us our inferiority. That may seem a bit harsh or a bit unloving, but it puts us in our proper place. To see our weakness and to see our frailty, to see His strength, and to see that He cannot be broken, He cannot be changed, His will be whatever it will be. We come up with our plans, but His plans will indeed have full sway. Now, this idea of fearing God, sometimes we will look at that and say, that's an Old Testament thing, right? Well, I went through and I looked, and here's the teachings of Christ. Matthew 10, 27 through 42. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's got this solid place that He stands. He can do this work that we cannot do. He is strong. He is eternal. And we are temporary and we are weak. That's why we run to Him. That's why we would obey Him. So now we move to our fourth step. Make the big picture your joy. This is coming from verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. This idea of setting eternity in your heart. He breathed into us. He's breathed into mankind. He has placed a bit of eternal substance in you. Some speak in terms of having a God-shaped hole within our heart, that nothing can go into it and nothing can fill it. Nothing can satisfy our need and our desire other than Him. That's true. That's true. Now, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, that is a hope and a reality for us that we do have the Holy Spirit within us. We can have joy and peace and satisfaction and hope. We do have this rescue. We have this relationship with God Himself. This is why it says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Why? In the Lord. In the Lord who is eternal, who has blessed you, who does meet with you, who holds you fast, who will raise you up at the end. Rejoice in the Lord. We have this eternal God who is everywhere and everywhen, who knows the beginning to the end. And we see that we do not, but He does. We are in His arms. We cease. And we allow Him to rescue us and hold us. Psalm 20, verse 5. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. We also rejoice that God is accomplishing salvation in one another's lives. We rejoice in these eternal things, this hope, this security, and this confidence that we have in Christ Jesus. This brings us to our fifth step, which is enjoy life. Enjoy life. Verses 1 and 2. There is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. And verse 22. I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for this is his lot. Some of you may already know the story of mine and Leslie's courtship. We were in our mid-20s. We had met. It took us about a month to be able to schedule a time to go on our first date. On our first date, we went to Uncle Charles's lake. We sat in the gazebo and we hashed through our doctrine and our plans for life. We decided at that point that we were compatible. I said, oh, wait a second, I feel called to be a pastor. She said, that's all right. I always wanted to be a pastor's wife. So we had a second date. 2 months later, I started thinking, well, maybe I should just go ahead and marry this girl. I asked the 7 godliest people that I knew, hey, this is the situation I'm in. What do you think? 5 out of 7 said, go for it. That night, I proposed. I asked my mom how much time she needed to plan a wedding. She said 3 months. I said, you got 2. We got married 2 months later. 2 months after that, Nathaniel was on the way. 9 months later, I'm sitting on the floor in the hospital, and it didn't seem like things were going well. And I was afraid. I was afraid that I could lose my wife and lose my child in those moments. And I remember sitting on the floor in the hall, thinking, you gave me this so quickly. 6 months. My life had changed so much. And I was realizing, you could take both of them right now, if you want to. And in that moment, I actually had to say, okay, they're both yours. Do whatever seems right in your own sight. I think that moment has changed me. I think that moment has freed me a bit. That there is an eternal place in my life where there is a time to live, time to be born. There is also a time to die. And with that freedom in such a place, we are able to enjoy the moments that we have been given. We sing of the beauty of the joy that God gives a mother. We can be in the place where we drink deeply of life, to look at the world and to see the beauty that does exist in it. To laugh at a swallow flying across the sky, to convince ourselves that newborns are cute, and to rejoice in such an object, as they are image of God. Even flowing from that, to look at the people that are in our lives that cause tension. We would rather not have tension, to move from the place where we simply don't like such an individual to avoid them, to know that God has placed eternity in their heart as well. They bear the image of God, and that even in such an individual that causes us frustration and tension, there's plenty of room to love such an individual because God has placed them in our lives intentionally. There is a time to love. That time is now. We walk through life enjoying it, seeing people's eternal value. We walk through life enjoying it, seeing what God is accomplishing in us and in those all around us. We walk seeing that everyone has eternal value. We walk through our life, and this is our sixth step, putting off the old. Thought of putting on the new, I got you. Putting on the better. That we're all, again, living on this scale, as we discussed this morning. Moving from one place, moving towards Christ Jesus. Each day, each moment, learning to be more like Him. It's always time to be being made new. Always that time in your life to be being sanctified. This brings us to our seventh step. Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough trouble for itself. Verse 11 again. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. There will be these struggles, and there will be these pains, and you will have these longings in your heart that Christ Jesus will fulfill. He will either fulfill them now in your life, He will fulfill them as you read the scripture, He will fulfill them by bringing other people to point you to Him, to show you Christ in your life. Or you may suffer a bit. You may have a bit of longing for a decade or two or a few score. But in that time, if you will seek His face, you will find Him. You will be satisfied in the end. Give yourself to that. Give yourself to now. people God has given you to love. His Son, whom He has given you to trust, to worship. Give yourself and rejoice. Rejoice in the good that He has given you to do in this life. Pray with me. How great the good you have reserved for those who love you. Thank you for giving us hearts to love you. Please bless us and help us to put off the old man and to put on the better. Put on the likeness of Christ Jesus. Bless us with hearts that are able to rejoice even in the midst of loss, in the midst of disappointment, knowing that you have a good plan for us, and that you cause all things to work together for the good of us who know you, who love you, who are called according to your purpose. We thank you and we praise you for your loving kindness and faithfulness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.